Hey everybody, it's Connor. Welcome to another amazing episode of Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell, your favorite twins on the entire planet. And because we're your favorites, we know you can't get enough of us and you want even more. And I've got it for you. Drama Plus, which is the name of our Patreon, which is our bonus content platform, where for $5 a month, you donate to support the podcast. We can keep churning out these lovely interviews, chats, episodes, specials with you. And in addition to supporting us, we give you the goods. You get access to our Instagram close friends, and you get multiple bonus episodes a month where Dylan and I chit chat with each other about all the fun, scintillating, sizzling Broadway, pop culture, personal life drama that you're craving. All right. Well, thank you for finding us. Enjoy this episode and go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast for more. All right, on to the show. Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I feel good vibes in the air today.
I know, I do too. I was feeling kind of sleepy earlier, but I've had a venti iced coffee from Starbucks and then also a grande. Is that bad?
It's that Friday feeling. We'll go with
yeah.
that.
Well, you know, I love a French vanilla coffee mate creamer. So I'm now doing something absolutely psychotic, which is putting it in like little to-go plastic cups that I'll wash at my office. And I'll go to Starbucks, get a coffee, and then put my own creamer in it. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's so weird. That's like bringing a Kool-Aid packet to a restaurant. That is like so
Okay.
bizarre.
But Dylan, there is something to be said about like a little, what is it? The iced tea that you could bring in. What was that? Crystal
Oh,
Light.
Crystal Light.
Remember?
Okay, that's fair. That's
Oh
like
my
a
God.
classier thing. Okay, I
So
guess if you'd like
fun.
what you like, we have debated your strange addiction to Coffee Mate products. We covered it, so we're not going to talk about it again. But I do want to hear about your night last night because you had a fun surprise that a
I
friend of yours
know.
took you to a
Oh my
show.
God, yes, my friend slash boss surprised me like months ago, was like, okay, for your birthday, hold this date. We're gonna do something on, that night. I had no idea what it was gonna be. And then he took me to a live podcast recording. Okay, weird to talk about another podcast on our own podcast.
Way to promote someone else.
I know, but it was Hannah and Paige from Summer House on Bravo. Well, I guess Hannah, formerly of Summer House fame. She's now like a thriving comedian, but they had a live podcast show through New York Comedy Fest at the Beacon Theater, which is like huge, like 3,000 people, they kept saying. And it was so fun and funny. And it had me thinking, Dylan, when we do our first live show, how fun it will be. Like the energy is just crazy. And I can't wait. It really had me dreaming.
It won't be at the Beacon. They've had the Tonys at the Beacon
That's
before.
what
Like that's
Kevin
never
told
that's
me. Do you remember what year?
It's within the last 10,
Okay.
I would say. Maybe
Interesting.
15. Maybe 15.
But yeah, it was
That's so
fun.
fun. I'm glad you got to go. You're the resident Bravo holic here on Drama,
And
so.
my dose of drama has to do with Bravo later, so
Okay.
we will get
Okay.
to that. But
Well, I'm
Dylan, you
jealous.
saw Girl from the North Country on tour this week, and we
I
haven't talked about
did.
it.
So random of
I
me.
know.
But it's touring through Cleveland. And so I drove up home to see it with our father. And my mom reminded me that my name is spelled Dylan, Dylan, because of Bob Dylan.
Oh, I always forget
Yeah.
that. That's so cool.
Despite her not being like a big fan.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you just see a spelling or a name of something and it just sticks. Like,
Well, the story goes is the day that she found out she was having twins, she saw Bob Dylan on like a poster or a magazine in the waiting room. And I think it was like in her brain.
oh, fun.
Yeah. I'll talk more about Girl from the North Country on our Patreon, where we'll go into more in depth. We need to get into
We
things.
need to bring her in. It's
Yeah.
time. And
Can I
Dylan,
just
I'm gonna
say,
get.
she's been on our list for years.
You can say it. Say it again.
She's been on our list since the beginning when we made our first, like, who would be good drama guests? And when we launched Drama, it was right on the heels of her starring in a Broadway show, I believe. It was right after that big show closed.
It was that fall. It was that fall.
Which I wore black that whole fall in mourning.
I know you did. I was like, Dylan, it's maybe time to switch it up. But our guest today is a triple threat musical theater star currently appearing as Maisie in Shucked on Broadway. You know her gorgeous vocals from her Broadway appearances as Jasmine in Aladdin, as well as Alyssa Green in The Prom, the show we were just mentioning, which we were obsessed with. She also toured as Jasmine and starred as another Disney diva, Meg, in Hercules at Paper Mill Playhouse. You might have caught her as Ariel Moore in Footloose at the Kennedy Center, or perhaps as Tink in Fly at La Jolla Playhouse. On television, she shined in Extrapolations on Apple TV+, and just like that, Law & Order and Bull. She's lent her talents to the touring company of Disney Princess the Concert, in Holiday Inn at the Muni, her duo show Babe with friend of the pod Caitlin Kinnunen, as well as Andrew Barth Feldman's Foul Play. In 2024, you will see this queen in her next high wire act as Marlena in Water for Elephants on Broadway opposite Grant Gustin. We're thrilled to finally have this darling diva on the pod. Please welcome to drama, Isabel McCallum.
Oh my God, what? First of all, that introduction had me rolling and reeling and also so flattered. Thank you so much. And thank you for reminding me what I did, because I sometimes forget who I am.
I need a moment of clarification, because as I was typing it up, I remembered that Fly happened at La Jolla, but
did it
happen?
Yes. Okay. So we, in the beginning of the dark days, the pandemic, we had 3 weeks of previews. And we opened on March 9th.
Got it.
And then we had 2 days, and March 12th, we shut down with the world.
Insane.
And then I spent the next 4 to 5 months in San Diego, because La Jolla Playhouse was kind enough to be like, if you don't have a place to go, if you want to stay here, you can stay in the housing for free. So shout out to La Jolla Playhouse for being a wonderful, generous, supportive organization.
Yeah. I remember Danny Quadrino did our show years ago, and he told us about that. So y'all were in that pod.
We were in the pod. Yeah. So we were in a block of condos, essentially. And luckily I had a car, which was nice. And so we had access to, like, it was the best place to spend a pandemic, truly. Like, we had access to nature. I could go hiking and I could go to the beach and stay away from people when we didn't really know what it was. And it was in the beginning times, like, nobody knew how to, remember we were like terrified of getting our groceries or packages. We were like scrubbing everything down. I remember like actually the first time it felt like kind of jailbreak. Like at first what we would do, we'd have parking lot happy hours where everybody would like make their bevs and we'd stand 6 feet away from each other in the parking lot and kiki or go to a park and kiki. And then I remember, I think it was like a couple months in, when Danny Quadrino and Storm Lever and myself and everybody else who was there, Jimmy Larkin, walked to Black's Beach at night, and we went and stuck our toes in the sand, and we were like, can we hug? And we just hugged each other under this moonlight while the water is rushing up against us. It was such a beautiful, magical connection moment that we like clearly all missed each other and missed physical touch. And then we were terrified. We're like, oh, did we spread COVID? Uh-huh. And of course,
and then there was like a week or two of you wondering if you made
a
mistake.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you know, the early days of the pandemic, while they were dark, they were really beautiful and soul filling too.
Yeah. It was like the collective deep breath that everyone kind of needed, but there was also like insanity. Sometimes I miss like the simplicity of those days, but I understand that the world at large was suffering. And so it's like a conundrum in my head sometimes, but.
Well, I mean, it's just multiple truths can exist at once. They're not mutually exclusive. So.
Love that. Yes. Our friend Lisa says that all the time, and I completely agree.
Okay. We jumped right in. We got the clarification on Tink.
Oh, yes.
Now, are you well?
I am well now in this moment. I am a Gemini, so I am on a roller coaster always. I am very grateful. I have an amazing job. I'm on Broadway right now. I have my own apartment, which is like my home, and I'm building it and I'm nesting. I have delightful community and friends who keep me above water and grounded. And then I'm days where I'm just exhausted. Then I'm days.
Yeah.
I think that says it.
Yeah.
Then I'm days. I'm just days where I become couch and I am so tired. And I go from being so tired and so grateful. I'm so tired and so grateful.
Mm.
I think that's how well I am right now. I'm tired and grateful.
Yes. Listen, that's like a good place to be, because you could be bored.
Oh, yeah. No, and you know what's, I actually like love is that I feel grateful that I rarely am bored.
Hmm.
I think it's because I've learned, and the pandemic probably helped with that, is that like I learned to become friends with like my inner voice and then also like the world around me, so that like when I feel static and I feel like so much is going on and I can't really decipher my thoughts, I put my phone down, I like literally unplug, and then I just sit and I observe and I'm like, okay, well, what's coming next? And that curiosity helps take away the boredom, which is kind of nice.
That's really cool. I mean, I'd imagine as an actor too, like that, I mean, that can only sharpen your skills because you see and learn about so much around you that you're able to then take and use for future roles or things like that. I don't know what your process is.
Totally.
We don't really get into process on drama
we
because
don't have to.
Sometimes it can be
really...
a little...
It's also like everybody's own journey and I'm tired of talking about
Very
it. I'm
good.
Tired.
Very good. There you go.
You caught me on a tired day.
That's okay. Listen.
I'm tired too, but I had all that coffee, remember? So
oh great. Oh, I had coffee too. Don't get me wrong. Again, Gemini. Tired but wired.
Oh, that's
okay,
so
I'm
funny.
Curious. Did you buy an apartment or are you like are at
no,
home or
I,
no?
I wish. I don't have that kind of money yet. That's the goal. But yes, I'm renting and it's my own one bedroom, which I'm so excited about. I'm definitely an extroverted introvert. I recharge on my own, you know, like all that stuff. But it's fun. And the learning curve is being patient with building said home. I'm just trying to be patient and make sure like I get the pieces that I want in, or I, you know, I don't rush, you know, something that isn't me.
Well, I heard that like buying furniture takes like a long time. Like couches are like on back order and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, everything's on back order, but I am impatient. So I find the ones that I can get within like a couple of weeks. So like I got my couch in 2 weeks.
Good.
I had to build it myself, but that was also fun. Felt good to build a couch myself.
Woman in STEM. Woman in STEM.
That's so
I'm
amazing.
Obsessed.
Wait, I love that. Did you do the whole thing where like you lived with a bunch of roommates?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've done the whole like lots of roommates thing. So now
Oh yeah. Well, actually what's so sweet and lovely is that like I lived with my college roommates for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Like we lived together, started our junior year of college. Two of my best friends, Storm Lever and Ellie Fishman, they're both in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, we've left to do certain jobs, but like our base was always together. And we just finished our lease in October.
Wow.
So this is like, we're all kind of moving on into our own different living spaces, but within a 15-minute walk from each
of
other,
course.
Which is great.
Was that emotional?
But yeah.
When it finally was time to
so
part ways?
Emotional.
Oh.
Yeah, so emotional. And just there's so much growth that happens between 20 and 30 that, you know, you like, I've seen these women change. We've challenged each other to become better. And like one of my favorite things about my friendship with these women is that we are nothing but honest. Like we do not accept anything less than. And so like we can always sense when something's off and we won't push, but we also know that like, you know, I know you're full of it. So, and I'm here and I hold space for you when shit is hard and tough.
True
and we
friendship.
Do. And it really is. And I'm learned how rare it is what we have, and so I feel so grateful for it. And
I mean, when you live together, you weren't even 21 yet, and like you see each other,
the
your highs,
messy,
your lows,
messy, messy,
relationships,
messy, messy,
fights, like
that all
makes
of it.
I'm emotional for you. Like it feels like when Girls Ends or something like that, and like they move on and everything.
It was. That's what it felt like. It felt like the season finale or series finale of Friends, and I was like. Yeah.
And the keys are just on the apartment counter
Terrible.
And everything. Oh my God.
That's what we did. We left the keys in the apartment. It was weird.
Oh my God.
Weird.
That's so cinematic. Well, it seems like things are well for you right now. I mean, I love to hear that. And you're in one of Connor and I's favorite shows. I listen to that cast album all the time. And
it's so good.
And Grammy nominated.
Yes, Grammy nominated. So exciting.
Alex Newell
so
better do a
them.
Little independently owned and Grammy nominated in tonight's performance.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be really good.
When I heard you were going in, though, I was so excited because I love your voice. I love Caroline Innerbichler's voice as well. That's how you say her last name?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, what are they going to do here? And when I heard you were going in, I was relieved because that song, Maybe Love, if there was like a Tony for like best song of the season or something like that, I swear to God, that would be my choice.
There should be a category for that. Why is that not a category? We need to add that category and best ensemble.
Yes,
like those.
They do.
Broadway.com awards. The audience.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, yes. The Broadway.com awards. Right.
You know,
right,
the coveted. The coveted.
Yes, the coveted.
I want
the coveted.
One.
Oh, I do too. I want to be best replacement. Let's go.
I'm sure. Yes. Yeah, that'll be a campaign.
You could be double nominated this season for best replacement and best. You know, leading performance.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm going to manifest it all. Let's come on, baby.
Have you ever been nominated? Do you know?
I was nominated for best breakthrough newbie.
That's
what
best
is
one.
It? Breakthrough or newbie?
Okay.
Something
like
or
that.
Like, I lost to Stephanie Stiles, I want to say, which makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Because she's her following is just much bigger than mine.
She was a
Yes, yes,
Newsies
yes,
in
yes,
Newsies,
yes.
so.
But I think that's what I was. And then nominated for, like, I think Caitlin and I were nominated for like best couple or
Oh,
something.
that's cute.
Yeah.
But didn't win. Oh my
That's
God.
okay.
Ah, homophobes. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Everyone,
Yeah.
if you don't nominate me, you're a homophobe still.
Yeah, literally. But wait, so are you having fun and shocked?
Oh my God, I'm having the best time. It's so fun. I've truly wanted to do ensemble comedy for so long. And I saw the show and it was bowled over by the talent on that stage. And also, the writing is so smart and so good. And I
Oh,
knew that,
yeah.
like, I was like, this is probably the best training ground I could have for comedy, period. Because it's the writing is so specific and clear to the point where, like, it doesn't work if you push. And you put anything on top of it, you just have to like deliver the lines in the reality, and that's so fun. And like the audiences go freaking crazy for it, and I just get to be dumb and silly. Not dumb intellectually. I think Maisie's very intelligent, but that's a misconception about her. But it's just so silly. I get to be silly, and you know, I get to wear a visor and a Tampa sweater, and I ride on stage with a crocodile. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for people, but like,
Yeah, these are big
yeah, I
spoilers.
know. But people would just hear and be like, "What the fuck? So, can I say fuck?"
Yeah. Oh
Fuck, fuck,
yeah.
fuck, fuck, fuck. Great. What the fuck?
Fuck yeah.
Great. Yeah, and then I get to sing these unreal songs and just like maybe love. I that moment is for me every night. Like that's the one I give myself. And I just like wherever I'm at, I just let the song take me. And it's I think the words, the lyrics are so intelligent. I fell in love with Brandi Clark and Shane McAnally's writing, and specifically
Yeah.
Brandi Clark's most recent album, self-titled album, Brandi Clark, and she got nominated for it this year too, which
Yes,
is
I
great.
saw that.
I think her lyrics are so intuitive and she's so authentic, and that song Buried destroys me, like to my core. Sorry, I should be talking about Shucked, but I'm also talking about Brandi Clark because because
Yeah.
Brandi Clark is the voice of Maisie, essentially, is what I've been told. Like she's the one who predominantly does the writing for Maisie, and
Oh, that's
I think
cool.
Maybe Love is such a beautiful example of God. We have no idea what happens in this life. We have no idea the people that we're going to encounter, but like I love that it's maybe love. Like it's always a question. Like it's not definitive. We can't define this thing that is so universal to each one of us and we experience in such different ways with different people, but that like you have to water it. You have to nourish it. You have to acknowledge that it's there. You have to be the sun on the love. And like God, it's so good. And like if you just choose love, it can make everything better. I'm sorry. It just makes me emotional. I get like,
That's so
I have
beautiful.
the
It's true.
chills. It's so good. I'm gonna love singing that song tonight. Oh,
Yeah.
it's
Wait,
my
you
therapy. Did I
have
say I'm well?
That's okay.
I'm
I'm buying
so
a ticket and
emotional.
coming.
Come.
That's so beautiful. I know. It's amazing how a song, people might just think, oh, it's a song. I know. It can really touch you in so many ways and go beyond what it is, even in the story, the context of Shocked, you know?
Yes.
Ugh. You get a few good songs. I mean,
Oh,
like
so
every
many.
song is
Every song
good,
is
but
good.
like.
I love that song. I love Woman of the World. It's such a powerhouse. Tampa is hysterical. Walls is a really good set. Like I sing so much. Walls is really nice. Walls is, I feel like, a good. It's like the thesis of the show. You know what I mean? It sets up the world, and also it makes me think of the world we live in now, honestly.
Yeah.
And like the volatile nature of social media, and you know, this p world is in a lot of deep pain at the
Oh,
moment,
yeah.
and there's a lot of people not listening to each other and thinking that because we support one thing means that it cancels out another side, which obviously is not the
Right.
case. And I think Walls is, that's why I find Maisie to be so intelligent, because she's saying it doesn't have to be one or the other. Why can't it be both? Why can't we find a way through this rather than sticking to our tribal instincts, you
Yes.
know?
She's head and heart
Yeah.
at the same time, you know?
Yes, she is. And people, I think this is true of life too. I think people who are heart driven are often dismissed, which is because it's not, you can't capitalize on it as much, I think, really, is what it comes down to, because we live in a capitalist society. But yeah, I think the heart driven people are like the healers of the world, and it would do us all a little better if we listen to them. Maybe not when they're so emotional because they can't articulate themselves like I am sometimes,
No,
but
you're such a real person. I mean, I always knew. I remember like very closely following a lot of the press from the prom and like just seeming like that group was so tight knit and everyone's personalities came through. And I always remember feeling like, oh, like she's real.
oh, thanks. I
She's a
appreciate
real
that.
one. And yeah, for sure. And the vibe that you have with Caitlin is always so
Oh
fun
God,
and
my babe. I love her
real.
so much. Yeah.
Babe.
Babe.
Yeah.
I think that's like I was talking to this with my cousin this morning, who's my best friend, soulmate person too, is that I'm attracted to people who don't have time to be anything but themselves. I don't have and I and it's which is interesting because we're in a performative industry, but I think that's why. It's because like I spend my job is to put on a face. I don't want to do that in real life. And I don't have time to do that in my friendships. So like, are we gonna show up or no?
When do you think you got to that point?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I think I've always been attracted to people who are like that. And I've always been attracted to specifically women who've pushed me to be more authentic and find truth. And not in a way where like you're being fake, but in a way where like I'm curious what's actually underneath this. And so I think actually probably during prom, I think I was very, I grew up as a big people pleaser. I've got people pleaser like in my DNA. And I was, it's okay, I can say this. My mother knows this now, but like I was raised to get the A and I was raised to be the best, period.
It's
So
giving Alyssa Green.
it is Alyssa Green. And I think the prom kind of like helped cure the Alyssa Green in me because
Yeah.
I used to be the person that was like, I'm in a not method, but like I got so invested in the part that I was playing that I took on those qualities in my regular life. And that's when I started therapy. And so I went into therapy and realized that like my therapist said this to me. She was like, you do this thing where you like you put pillows in every direction around you just in case you'll fall in either direction, but you're not going to fall. And I was like, that is fascinating. Tell me more
Yeah.
about this part of me. And I also think I equated, you know, love with being the best and being good. So it all became about, I got really good at being a chameleon. I can be anybody that you want me to be. I can identify what's missing in a room and fill that void. And then I realized in the pandemic, like I think in the prom, I realized that I didn't want to be a people pleaser anymore, that like authenticity, because I was attracted to Caitlin, I was attracted to Beth Level, like these people who just are like, I don't have time. I don't have time to be anything but myself. And I was like, that's cool. You're a real human. The job isn't everything. What? Amazing. And then in the pandemic was when I realized, oh, I don't have the energy to be the chameleon anymore. Like I can't, just because I can change shape doesn't mean I should. And so it's,
Ooh.
that was kind of my pandemic journey, was like trying to choose to stop being something for somebody else. And I'm still working on it. It's a journey, but you know what helps? Fatigue. Because I just don't have time to be anything else.
This might be personal, but do you feel it's affected like friendships or relationships that maybe?
That's okay. I don't mind that personal question. I think it's a good question. Yes, I think it has in both positive and negative ways. I think
Yeah.
it means that if we are friends, we are really friends. And like, I spend time with you and like, I put your phone down. I don't, why are you on your phone? Like, that doesn't, be here with me right now. And I'm also like, I'm curious about the people on the other side. I'm like, let's get into it. What, how actually are you in this moment? How is your heart? How did you sleep? Are you, what are your fears right now? Like, what are your dreams? Like, I want to know those things because that interests me. I'm not interested in, I don't know, like mundane gossip and the day-to-day
Yeah.
bullshit. Which means that I also, the
The
fatigue, it fatigues me,
fatigue.
which also means that I don't invest time in people that I find are still performative, which has meant that I've not been like, we're not friends anymore, but it's meant that like there's been distance that's grown between, which I think is a normal thing because people just grow in opposite directions. And then there are friends that I
Oh,
reconnect with,
yeah.
and it's just like you just have seasons of life. But like, I think it's a beautiful thing to realize that some people aren't for you. And that you are not for every, that's the lesson that I'm still struggling with, is that I am not for everyone and not everybody needs to like me.
Yeah. I know that reminded me of this illustration that I saw when I was in college. And actually, somebody just reshared it to their Instagram story this week. And I was like, oh my God, this is still around. But it's of two people. And one of them is saying, you've changed. And the other person is standing there. And it's like, we're supposed to. And they've got plants and flowers growing out of their
Yeah,
head.
I love that.
It's so beautiful because it's true. We're supposed
It's
to.
so true. We're supposed to. And you know, it's the hardest thing to accept, though. It's one thing to understand it intellectually, which I do, and like I promote it. And but then when you feel like you're losing, like in a relationship ending, you know, for example, like that's really tough to acknowledge that, like, the person when you are so in love with somebody and it once was so beautiful and special, and then for your person to be going through a season of change and realize that, like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't be the same person with you that I was. That's hard. It's devastating. And you got to let them go.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oof.
Whoa.
You're dropping wisdom.
I'm tired.
And maybe that's when, like, we find that we're our most, like, uninhibited at the same
time.
Yeah,
truly. You know, like, and that we also, like, make mistakes and that, like, yes, I'm saying all of these things, but, like, it's hard. It's really hard, dude. It's hard to let people go. Oh, it's hard to change. And like, it's hard to change yourself. Like being a fucking mess. Talk about like that. I think that picture is also, she has like butterfly wings. The one that's like, we're supposed to change. And I think about the, like, when caterpillars transform into butterflies, they literally turn into goop in a cocoon. They turn into fucking goop before they can sprout wings. I literally, I'm a big Oracle deck reader, and I think why I'm so tired is like, I'm in a goop phase at the moment while these most beautiful things are happening around me. And I pull this card yesterday and it's the Land Between. And I was like, you were reading me for filth, spirits. And it was literally about, you have 1 foot in the past, 1 foot in the future. This is where you're supposed to be. And here's the thing. You can't skip this part. You can't skip the mess. You got to sit in it because this is where you get reborn. And this is where the interesting things happen. So like, take this time while you are goop to figure out what you want your life to be next, but you can't rush through it. So I'm goop.
Otherwise you might end up on the wrong path. You're goop right now.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I turned this into a therapy session.
I love it. I had to cancel my own therapy this week. So you're helping me a lot, actually.
Okay, good. Anytime.
So we are talking about what you're up to now. Mm-hmm. Shocked. And we're going to get into what's next for you in a little bit. But we like to talk to all of our guests about the moment they got into the arts. We borrow Ring of Keys from Fun Home because we like to think maybe it was an experience where the light switch flicked on. You were like, oh my God, I love the arts. I need to be a part of this. These Ring of Keys. Do you feel like you can pinpoint a moment or moments?
Yeah, absolutely. My Ring of Keys moment was when I was 5 years old. My mother brought me to Cats the musical on Broadway. And I was sitting on her lap and the cats roamed the aisles and Cassandra, the brown cat, roamed up and sat next to my seat. And apparently I turned to her and she looked up at me and I went, good kitty. And I started petting this actress and the actor like nuzzled into me and like fully went with it. And then I remember just like loving the show and wanting to do it. And I begged my mom to get the VHS. Yes, kids, I said VHS. And I wore that VHS out. I watched it every day and I would play a different cat every day. And I taught myself the choreo. I was convinced I knew it. Like Jillian Lynn could have called me then. And I was like, I'm Demeter, baby. Here we go. As an 8-year-old, so inappropriate. Just like, McGavity. But like, I was preparing to be a swing. Like automatic, like my body and soul was in it. I wanted to be on Broadway. And then like, I went years without seeing another Broadway show. But that was like my first Ring of Keys moment. And then I think it was The Drowsy Chaperone I saw. And I was like, oh my God, theater can make you feel better. Ugh, there's a line that Bob Martin wrote for it where he's the man in chair and he says, I'm feeling blue, a state, you know, not particular sadness, you know, a state which I call blue, which I think is just like a melancholy that we can all relate to. And like, whenever I feel this way, I put on my records, my favorite records. And like, that's what Broadway is. That's what shows are, is that it's a warm hug. It's being seen. It's folly. It's fun. It's escapism. And it's a reflection. And like, I remember the way that show made me feel. And I remember watching Beth Level like destroy as we stumble along and being like, who is this woman? I want to be her. That transformative power of theater. That was another Ring of Keys moment for me where I was like, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. So like the fact that my first original Broadway show was a Casey Nicola directed show written by Bob Martin starring Beth Level was like alignment, synchronicity, like all of it. Yeah. I was like, thank you.
Whoa.
The seeds were planted and watered. And
have you told Beth or Bob or Casey any of that? Yeah.
They're all, I wrote a paper about Beth in middle school, which I showed to her because I had it still. And then I also, this is really funny. She was like, one of my friends reminded me when she came and saw the prom. She was like, "You remember how Beth Level was your computer password in middle school?" And I went, "Oh my God, it
Oh,
was."
so you were like a theater kid.
Oh yeah, I was a nerd, dude.
Oh, I
I was
love
such a
that.
nerd. And so I told Beth, I was like, "Beth, I have to admit that you were my computer password." And she, without missing a beat, she went, "Aw, why'd you change it?" And I thought that was so funny. And I was like, "This is why you're iconic."
She
Yeah,
is so
in a
fun.
word,
She
yeah,
that word is thrown around a lot, but for her,
it's true.
yeah.
It's really true. She is iconic, and she was actually one of the people who taught me that, like, don't put your people on pedestals. They are,
Ooh.
they don't want to be, and not in a way that she told me that, but
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
I recognized that when I took her off of the pedestal was only when our relationship grew. Because I saw her as a human and not like, teach me everything, Beth. It was just, she was like, I'm tired. And I was like, what did you do last night? Let's talk. And like, I literally, I had to force myself into her and Angie's dressing room and I would eat potato chips with them at the same point every day. And I was just like, just talk to them like you're a friend. And I had to
Yeah.
like actively rewire my brain to see them as friends. And that's when I was like, oh, right. You're just like me doing this. You just have done it longer. That's all.
Oh,
And it was
yeah.
nice.
That's really cool. Wait,
Yeah.
isn't it that potato chips are good for your voice or something
They
like
are,
that?
they lubricate the
Yeah.
colds.
Okay.
So Beth would eat them every day before Ladies Improving. They had like a big bag box of Lay's chips. And actually, Angie Shore sent me a box of Lay's in Atlanta when I was doing Water for Elephants, which was
Oh,
so sweet.
that's
Yeah.
really
That's funny. That's
cute.
cool. Yeah.
The prom. We kind of touched on it earlier, but what did it mean to you to be in that show? Were you in the out of town? Was it at the Alliance Theater
It was
before?
at the Alliance. So I've
Okay.
now done two out of town tryouts at the Alliance Theater.
Yeah.
It was, I did the, I was in the ensemble in the out of town tryout in
That's right.
Atlanta, but that show was everything to me. It taught me so much. I feel like it was great because I didn't have to be funny in that show. I could just absorb the comedy through osmosis of just like watching Beth and Brooks and Chris Sieber and just these geniuses at work.
Yeah.
And I think before the prom, I wanted to be considered as a serious actor so badly. You know, like I really wanted the craft to be everything. Like I was just like, and now I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't care. I just want to make people have fun and laugh, which is like such the gift of the prom. And I saw how joy transforms people too. And like a show that's funny can still touch people and change their lives because it's
Yeah.
even more impactful when you do that. Like you don't have to like shove trauma down people's throat for them to think it's high art. And I'm not interested in shoving trauma just for the sake of shoving trauma. Like why?
Right.
What's the point? And so
Especially with the way the world is right now, it's like, is that really what people want?
no, we don't. We want to laugh. We want to feel a warm hug. We want to just be in community. And I think comedy does that. It brings community. And also like it gives us objects of ridicule to laugh at. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah. I think that's
yeah.
why
It's
Barbie took off. I mean, a part of why Barbie was
yes.
so huge, right?
Yes. So great. I loved Barbie.
Loved,
So good. It was
loved.
so good.
Speaking of Barbie, it got a lot of Grammy nominations.
Did it? That Dua
Yeah.
Lipa song and that
Dua
Lizzo song?
Lipa, not Lizzo. It's Dua Lipa, Not the Nicki
Lizzo.
Minaj, the
Okay, cool.
Billie
Billie
Eilish, and then
Eilish.
Ryan Gosling is now a Grammy nominee.
Sublime.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh,
Yeah. That's how
it
it should
should
be.
be.
That's how it
I
should
love
be.
Ryan
Yeah.
Gosling so much. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
he was a runaway hit for that for me in that movie. I mean, and Margot
Amazing.
Robbie is fantastic, obviously. It was a great movie. It was a really good film. My friend Mackenzie and I had this kind of revelation because we were comparing like this summer was like the Taylor Swift, Beyonce, not rivalry, but like these like two epic divas in their own rights and their followings. And
Yeah.
we kind of like created a parallel, which I'm curious to see what you think about this, but like I think Taylor Swift is to Barbie as Beyonce is to Everything Everywhere All at Once. And my friend Mackenzie and I think
Ooh.
that way too. That like, yeah, I'm gonna leave it there.
I like what you're
Yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
I'm digesting.
So
I
I mean
think,
yeah, it
everything, yeah.
digests.
Everything Everywhere All at Once won Best Picture.
Yeah. Well,
So,
clearly you know where I stand then, but
yeah.
I loved, and here's the thing. I have nothing against Taylor Swift. I just, she's like, not, it's not my ministry, but like, I respect her. I think it's great. Yeah, I think Taylor Swift has this amazing capacity to reach people that's so universal and like
Yes.
in such a beautiful way. And I can't really speak on it because I don't I haven't listened to her songs all that much or analyzed her lyrics all that much. However, I have gone in on Beyoncé's Renaissance album and all of her albums. And I think the way that she curates an entire experience and the way that the lyrics are so multidimensional and layered is like Everything Everywhere All at Once, in the sense that you are in multiple different parallel universes with one sentence, which I
Ooh.
think is so transcendent and powerful and empowering. But like, I could write a thesis on Church Girl alone. Like, oh my God. I think that's one of the most
Is that
brilliant
your
songs.
song?
So many of them are, but what's my song? I don't know. But Church Girl is my like academic song that I could go in on. And
Okay.
so many. I can't.
It's
That's a no
amazing. I
skips one
love,
for me. That's a no
yeah.
skips album.
Even Plastic Off the Sofa.
Even, yes, Plastic Off the Sofa is sex to me. That's foreplay.
It is. I hear you.
Oh,
Okay, I hear
no.
that.
I
I hear
like
that.
that song.
It slows things down a little.
Oh, no, but I need it to slow down. Sometimes you want to take it slow.
That's true.
And you know what? That
That's true.
song, I was, That song, I listened to these lyrics and I was like, oh, this is this one person for me. Like, there was like a person in my
Ooh, I
life,
love
and I
that.
was like, ooh. This is how I feel. This is how you like, let's fucking go, baby. Yeah. So again, I also love songs that I can listen to. And I love that album because it's a dance album and it's fun.
It's
It's
Beyonce.
Beyonce.
It should have been
It's
Album of the Year at the
Beyonce.
Grammys, but
I agree.
it's Beyonce.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
Grammys are
Anyway, that was
bogus to me
my
at this point,
little.
but yeah.
Oh, well, everything is politics and is bullshit. Like all the award shows are,
Yeah,
except for
you're right.
Broadway.com. Vote for me, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I really wish that Beyonce, I mean, I know that she's always got the master plan, but I really wish she would have released the second act. Or people are saying the movie that's coming out is the second act of Renaissance, but this
Oh yeah.
The one that's going to be in theaters. But
Right.
looking at the albums that were nominated today for Album of the Year, I was like, if Beyonce would have released another album, she would have won this
I
year because she
know.
needs
I
to have
know.
Album of the Year. I know I'm saying it's bogus, but like she needs to
I
have that on her
know.
list.
I know she does, and I'm like, it'll happen. It'll happen.
It
I have to
will. She's not
trust.
going
It
anywhere. She's
will.
not going anywhere. But okay, anyways. Okay, so we're talking about I
We
love
talked
we're
about
talking
the
about the prom. I know.
prom,
I'm
which we
so
are
sorry.
obsessed with.
No. I think I have ADD. I just like go off
It's
on
fine.
tangents.
It's
So
fine.
good.
We that's
Yeah.
okay.
Great.
I need to
Yes.
know about upcoming Waterfowl Fest.
Yes.
Are you so
I'm
excited?
so excited. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's
Who wrote the music for
Pigpen Theater
this?
Company. They are a group
Okay.
of seven. They went to college together at Carnegie Mellon University as actors and learned how to play instruments while they were at school there. And they created their own theater company where they would write their own shows and act in them. It was actually Rick Ellis's, our book writer's partner, who discovered Pigpen and told Rick Ellis that like they need to write this. They need to write Water for Elephants because they write bluegrass
Wow.
and they write really earthy, delicious music that just like pierces your soul. And so,
This was Roger Rees who discovered
yes.
them. Okay. The late
The
great.
late great, Roger Rees, and told Rick Ellis like it's got to be Pigpen that writes your show. And so that's why
Oh,
Pigpen's doing it, and they're making their Broadway debut with this show, and I'm so thrilled for them. And they're also such wonderful people, like good guys, really, really good guys, smart, sensitive, funny, just good people you want in your corner.
I used to religiously ride at SoulCycle with this guy named Jimmy, and he went to college with the Pigpen guys.
Oh, fun.
And he used to sneak in their music to the spin classes, like in
Oh
the
my God, I
playlist. I
love
remember being like,
that.
what is this? The Tale of Despero or
Yes,
something
they
like
wrote
that. I think they
that.
have a musical version of that. So that's
Oh.
where I remember hearing about them the first
Yeah.
time. Is your character getting to do anything stunty or like wild? Because it's like a
Yes,
circusy
it
type
is.
thing,
It's
right?
so it's set at a circus. It's 1931 during the Great Depression, and the backdrop is Benzini Brothers Circus. Most spectacular show on earth is the way it's billed, and the story is about this man, Jacob Jankowski, who on like the eve before he's supposed to graduate from Cornell and join his father's vet school, both his parents die in a car crash. And so like instead of taking his final, he runs away. He runs out of the school and like runs to a train track and then jumps on a train that just is taking him anywhere. And it ends up that he jumps a circus train. He does menial work for a while, but then becomes a circus vet. And he meets and falls in love with Marlena, who's the equestrian, also the wife of the ringmaster.
Oh, drama, drama, drama,
drama,
drama.
drama, drama. And also the ringmaster is what we didn't know, but like was sick and is a paranoid schizophrenic. And so like he gets progressively more violent and scary. And so it's like, while it takes place in a circus, it's a show about what happens when you lose everything. Who do you become? Wow. Who do you become kinder? Do you become a healer? Do you become a tyrant? Do you fall in love? Like, what do? To save yourself, to like just survive in a world that like has forgotten you. And so it's a show about lost souls, honestly. And Marlena, I do get to do some fun tricks. I get to I get to hop on the trapeze, which is really fun.
Oh, very cool.
I'm hoping to do a little bit more this time round.
Okay.
Shayna Carroll, please let me do more circus acts. We'll see. But I love it. And we have we're gonna have 7 circus artists performing with us.
Oh, so
and they're unbelievable at what they do. And like also what they do in the show, well, we think it's spectacular. They're like, this is 10% of my capabilities. but they're all such incredible artists. And so like circus is interwoven through this story. Yeah. And it's a really beautiful device that kind of like lifts everything. And I think there's a really great song that I get to sing called Easy, where I'm trying to heal one of my horses and just tame him. And he's an injured horse. And in the song, as I'm calming him, there's a puppet head and he is an aerialist. And so it's an aerialist who is the puppeteer. And at one point, like I take over the head and this aerialist gets pulled out on a silk. And it's like his soul is kind of like dancing and flying over the audience. And I think that's like the perfect embodiment of the potential of the show and what it can be, is like the multimedia dimensions, like these two art forms coming together to create something really spectacular and moving.
I'm even more excited now. And Grant Gustin is going to be in
it. Yes, The Flash. Very exciting.
The Flash. He's so cute.
He's so cute and he's so sweet. He's very sweet. I'm very excited for the world to see his. I was lucky enough to be in Final Callbacks for the role of Jacob, and his read, I was so struck with, like, I read the book and I love the book, and he came in the room and I was like, this is Jacob. Just his demeanor. He's a little soft-spoken, very, he's not demure, but he's humble. He's attentive, he's intuitive, he's kind eyes, like he's just I'm really excited to work with him and see what he brings to the role and like see what we get to cook up. And then like to have Paul Alexander Nolan play my husband, who I'm like,
oh my god, I was gonna ask, is that what he's the role he's playing? Okay.
I have the hugest crush on him, so does Doug.
Everybody should. I think he's a phenomenal actor. I'm so excited. I am always looking to act with people who are better than me. I always want to act with people because they make me better. And I just am so excited. I'm not trying to be, you know, self-deprecating, but like, I believe you're only as good as the people you're on stage with. That's what you create together. And so I think the combination of Paul Alexander Nolan, Grant Gustin, and myself, hopefully, I feel like we'll cook up something really special. So it's not, you're not just walking away with the spectacle of the circus, but you're also walking away with like, oh, I'm remembering these humans and these souls that like left everything. And so I hope, even though I'm doing a comedy now and I said like comedy is great and everything, I hope people walk away from this drama and are like, those people and the circus. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so excited. Now I feel like I could talk to you about so many things. You've given us so much about your career and life, but also the personal insights that I feel like are touching my soul today. So thank you so much. Yes. We are moving on to a little bit of drama, a dose of drama, our segment where we share something that's on our mind. It could be, you know, that piece of pop culture you've been consuming, binge watching, maybe a book even, you know, if you crack that open, or it could be something you want to rant about, rave about, promote. And I mentioned at the top about Bravo, reality TV. And a few months ago, I was kind of feeling burnt out on my reality shows, my wives, the housewives. But I have to say, I'm in a Bravo obsession wormhole right now. We've got Real Housewives of Miami. Yes. We've got Potomac and we've got Beverly Hills all airing at the same time and Salt Lake. And I'm living. I have, you know, at least 3 nights a week where I get to be with my girls, and it's really restoring my soul between the hours of 8 and 10 p.m. So I have to say, it's my self-care.
Your harem.
Yes, yes.
Your harem.
And y'all, Miami was off the air for a while, and then it was Peacock exclusive, but it's amazing. Every single girl on that 9-person cast is incredible. So you got to jump into Real Housewives of Miami. But anyway, also BravoCon was last weekend, so I was eating all that up. All right, Dylan, do you have a dose of drama today?
Well, I'm happy that you're happy with all that's going on. Cause I was worried. I was like, who is Connor without Bravo? Like there was like a moment where I thought if he's waning on it, but okay, mine is.
Cause that was my pandemic journey. That was my, how I became connected to reality in a way or unreality. So anyway, Dylan, move on.
I will go. I have a few I could go with. One of them is a book I'm reading, but I haven't finished it yet. So I'm not going to promote it until I'm finished it.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with, we just had Vincent Jamal Hooper on last week, who was currently Simba in The Lion King. And he suggested the show Bodies on Netflix. And I gave it a go. And I'm now 4 episodes in and I'm loving it. And so I just have to thank him for giving the suggestion. It's like a thriller. Also like maybe like a little, I don't want to say sci-fi because I think that has like a weird connotation to it. But like, there's some like extravagant things going on with it and it's really good. And it stars Kyle Soler, who was in The Inheritance on Broadway, one of my faves. And so it's always fun to see. I always love when Broadway people pop up on shows. I'm always like, you're one of us, you know, like you're one of my people. So I highly do recommend it. It's 8 episodes. They are all an hour long. So do with that as you will.
Okay.
Isabel, what is your dose of drama this week?
What's my dose of drama this week? Well, I just finished the 3rd season of The Righteous Gemstones, which, I think it was a perfect season of television.
Is that on HBO? Or sorry, Max?
It's HBO. Yes. Yes, correct. And it's written by Danny McBride. And I just think it is one of the most well-written shows about the kookiest family in such a, like, I mean, the character of Judy is the dumbest, like, I can't even describe, I'm sorry, I don't have the words because I'm just so taken, I just can't, you just have to watch these idiots in action is all I'm saying.
Who is in it?
It's been recommended to me so many times, but I've yet to dive in.
Okay, so like, and I, like, here's the thing, I'm not a religious person, so I was like, ugh, I don't really want to see a show about a super church, because it's basically about like a family like the Olsteins, you know what I mean, that like commercialize on big super churches. And it's, okay, so Danny McBride is the eldest brother. So it's like John Goodman plays the patriarch, the Gemstone Salvation Center, like he owns, and it's like, they have churches, super churches, every mega churches, right? Mega churches everywhere, all over the world. And like their whole thing is like saving people, right? And his 3 kids are the most spoiled assholes that have ever existed on the face of the planet. And they all suck. And the craziest shit happens to them because everybody's always trying to take down the righteous gemstones. And so as Danny McBride created the show, he plays the oldest son, Jesse Gemstone. And then Edie Patterson plays Judy Gemstone, and Judy's oh my God, this woman who like thinks she's like the hottest shit and is the most awkward person on the face of the planet. Adam Devine plays Calvin.
I love him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so like his storyline is so freaking great because like in the second season, he has this like helper called Keith, who he kind of rescues from a satanist club. And it's like definitely homoerotic. Like Keith and Calvin are so into each other. They have like this thing called the Smut Busters where they go in and like take all of the inventory from porn shops. I mean, just sex toy shops. And it's like, this is smut. It's freaking, Oh, Walton Goggins plays Baby Billy, and Baby Billy's their uncle. There was literally a scene in the, I'm not making any sense. I'm so sorry. You can chop all of this up.
No, I'm following.
But there was a scene in this final episode where they're like, he finally gets them to green light this game show of his called Billy Baby's Bible Bunkers, where it's just like Family Feud going to head over the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so he comes into a room with like the Gemstone family, and he's like, you know what? I feel like I'm your daddy. And they're like, you're not my daddy. And he's like, I'm your daddy. And it's just a minute of them going back and forth saying, you're my daddy, I'm not your daddy, you're not my daddy, not my daddy. Like, it's just a shot of Danny McBride going, not my daddy. And I was crying laughing. It's just so dumb. I highly recommend
it. Even you
it.
Doing it is making me laugh, so not I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Making me happy. I love
that's
it.
That's my drama.
Oh, I love, that's a great suggestion.
Watch The Righteous Gemstones.
Yes. See, we need a little laughter. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it was so nice to meet you. Like, seriously, I truly feel like we vibed, and this really meant a lot that you just shared your heart with us, but also gave us a little drama in the process. So thank
Always.
You.
I know. I'm probably going to get canceled for not being Team Taylor Swift, but sorry.
Oh, no. We'll make sure that the Swifties don't come for you.
They're scary.
They are scary.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am a Swiftie, but I'm not a scary
And
kind,
I respect it. This is the thing. Yeah. Like, I don't hate her at all. I think she's very talented. It's just not my ministry. That's all.
Love. Yeah. We're all in the ministry of Isabel McCalla today. So we need to follow you on Instagram at Izzy McCalla, right?
Follow me at Izzy McCalla, just Insta. I'm not on the ticketist talkatist yet.
It was so nice to meet you. Have an amazing show tonight.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely have to let you know when we come and stop by the Imperial Theater this spring.
Let me know.
We're at The Drama Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. And I'm at Connor McDowell and you're at Dylan McDowell.
Yes.
That's right. And thank you again, Isabel. It was such a delight.
Thank you so much. I'm literally following you right now.
Oh my gosh. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.